Now, I'll try to only pick up my stuff and leave your stuff there.
Anybody who knows me knows I leave a little trail everywhere I go. It's kind of my nature. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. I'm Kim Simons, for those of you who don't know me, and I have the incredible privilege of directing the children's ministry here and the family ministry at Galloway. And I can't tell you how thrilled and honored I am to be here just to share what I think is something that God really wants us to hear. I just finished teaching a life class called Spiritual Parenting, where 32 parents attended the class. The author of that series is Dr. Michelle Anthony. And I couldn't bring everybody, but I wanted to just get on videotape a couple testimonies of the fruit as we begin today.
I just want to talk about the spiritual parenting class and kind of what it's meant to us. We took the parenting, we've taken other parenting classes before, and usually it was the focus was how to make your child better. And this class kind of taught us that we needed to parent as our Heavenly Father parents. Instead of trying to make our child better, we had to change the way we parent, just with love and grace and discipline, but, you know, like God parents us each and every day.
And one of the things that I thought was real important, that I went into the class thinking that I was going to change Sydney and not myself, and I learned a lot of things through the class, and actually had a good revelation in the middle of the class, and I learned so many good tools to use. And also between Chad and I, since we both took it, we're there to support each other. When we do need correction for each other, we can be there for each other, and it's just a great opportunity to learn about God even more in depth, and also how to parent your child the way God wants you to parent your child.
And I would, we would recommend it for anyone that has a child, teenager, clear to expecting.
Right.
That it would be beneficial to all. Yep. And we appreciate it.
James.
Margot.
Abby.
Julia.
Anna. Be strong and courageous in living for God.
Seek His ways and not lean on your own understanding. Appreciate the life He has given us.
Let our home be a refuge filled with love, joy, and peace.
Be encouraging to one another.
Turn our eyes to God so the things of this world grow dim.
Join God in His work by giving and serving.
Pursue God with our whole hearts so that future generations will receive a legacy of faith.
By following God, we choose to lead a life full of grace and love.
We will always maintain our integrity in Christ and a willingness to serve, keeping heaven as our goal.
Amen. I'd like to invite the people that we had quite a few in the first service, and if you're back, if you've taken the class, I'd like you to come up. I just want to talk a little bit as you come. So parents and families, please. As they come, I just want to say, and I'll just have you line up here, that this class was a little bit different because it really was a commitment to attend the class. They had to commit to attend all 12 weeks. Let me just go right across. Thank you. All 12 weeks of the Spiritual Parenting class. They had to do the homework that they were assigned. They had to pray as a family daily. They had to do weekly devotions as a family. And most of all, they had to make God center of all. And, you know, we had some incredible testimonies. I wish you could hear them all of people. One of my favorite is, I've always prayed for my kids, but I've never prayed with my kids. And I just praise God, and I just want to honor you, and I want you to know that God honors your commitment to your family. And I just want to speak a scripture that we had in class, Psalm 78, over you and your family. Psalm 78, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell them to the next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. And I thank you that you're a living testimony and example that, boys and girls, look at your moms and dads. They really, the very first thing they want you to have in life is a faith in Jesus Christ. And I just want to pray for your families. Dear God, we just come in unity and we pray for the families represented here. We pray for all families, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you will just make our homes a place of refuge and a place where you are number one. You are first in charge. You are the divine healer, the divine father. And I just pray blessing over every home represented here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give them a hand. I'll get back up there. That's so exciting, isn't it? By the way, the class we are going to offer, my goal and what the Lord's laid on my heart, that every parent will go through this class. It's that good. I've seen a lot of parenting things, but this will really change your life. I really believe that. God has anointed her. The teacher in me, when I go to teach any class, I always have to look at what the goals and the purpose of the class are. So I want to begin today, and I want you guys to know the goals and the purpose of the class, Spiritual Parenting, but I want you to think of it today through the eyes of you as a child of God, not just in the home and families, but goals of as a child of God. So here's what the goals and purpose. At the completion of the class, parents would be able to create 10 environments for the Holy Spirit to move that would enable them to pass on a vibrant and transforming faith, the kind of faith in which their family or you would know and hear God's voice, discerning it from all others. Their family would desire to obey him when they heard his voice. Their family would obey him not in their own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you believe we all need to hear this as the family of God? We need to know and hear God's voice. We need to obey him, and we need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." The path is the path of the divine, not the path of the world. It was really no surprise to me when Pastor was going to start a series on teaching unshakable faith, that families would be in it. Does everybody agree there's a little bit of uneasiness, some storms that come within our families? I would say yes. Would you say yes, Kaylin Cole? Yeah. I didn't invite them on the platform, you noticed. Just you're here today, and I just want to pray with you before we even start, because I just really believe that you may be here, and you may be in a storm with your family. It may just be a little sprinkle. It may be a huge windstorm, it may be a thunderstorm, or it might be for you a tsunami. It might be something really big. Your family may be struggling with finances, addictions, pride, cold hearts, drugs, alcohol, relationships. I want you to know today that God has a word for each of you. He has a word for you today. Let me just pray that your heart will be softened. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And we just pray right now that by your Spirit that you would just remove away the blinders from our eyes and our ears and our hearts, God, and you would just have us receive what you want us to receive today, Lord. We bring every storm to you, and we thank you that you are the God of unshakable faith, and we can do all things through you who strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme, if you would say, verse of this series is in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I believe Pastor shared it last week. And I just want to read it, and I want to give you a little glimpse of what he may be speaking to the family through this. "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though rain come in torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." In this scripture, Jesus is talking about two different foundations here. He's talking about the wise man who built, what was his foundation? The rock. And the foolish man, his foundation was sand. And I'm pretty sure in Scripture, if God's given us a picture or a metaphor of something, to instruct us to build our house on, that he probably wants us to know what we're building our house on. So this morning, I want us to talk about what is the rock? What is the rock? Myself and most of you, if that were asked that question, would say that the rock is what? Jesus. And Jesus is the rock. He tells us that in several scriptures. But this scripture particularly says this, and I don't want you to miss it this morning, because I believe Dr. Anthony really is on to something. The scripture says, Jesus says that everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Jesus says that everyone who hears his word and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. If you hear something and you put it into practice, you obey, right? You're obeying. This scripture, the rock becomes obedience. Now listen, if you go back and listen to it, it says it's not simply hearing God's word, because what? It said the foolish man heard it, but he didn't put it into practice. And I think a lot of times we as a church, as the family of God and our family of our homes, it's really easy, like on Sunday morning, to come in, or when we're in our life group, we're in our home group, we're around our Christian friends. It's really, really easy to state that Jesus is your rock and to live and live his word out loud. But it's not so easy when we're in our workplace and we're out of the sight of people. I want you to know God is watching, and he is looking for the same kind of faith that we're going to talk about in a minute, no matter where you are. When we think about family in the scripture of Matthew, we can learn that building on a rock means obeying God's word in our everyday circumstances and letting our children be eyewitnesses to that rock-solid way of living. I love when Josh McDowell was here, and I've read several books on having teenagers on parenting and why Christian kids rebel. And both, all the similarities will tell you, you know what it is? It's because they're coming to church, possibly with us, and they're seeing life lived one way, and they're hearing all these great things about how God wants us to live our word, but then they go home. They don't see it in their home. They don't see it in their workplace. They don't see it with their friends. So they're trying to figure out what's true. It is important that we show them the truth. Now, let me just say that doesn't mean we have to be perfect parents, right? We don't serve a God of condemnation. But we do have to seek with him through us to live out his way. And I bet today, if I asked you on Mother's Day, if you all moms, what you would want, I bet the majority of you, if you could have one thing in all the world for Mother's Day, it would be that you would want your children to be grounded on a solid foundation, so when the storms of life beat down hard on them, they will endure. Anybody in here a mom, and really, that would be their life cry? Amen. This kind of faith is called obedient faith. It's not just faith believing in what we don't see. It's called obedient faith. We see that in the scripture of Matthew, where the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man obeyed. He had faith to believe what he didn't see, but the foolish man didn't. So this kind of obedience is called obedient faith. And you can have it, okay? And God expects you to have it, because it will bring a harvest of righteousness. So I want you to listen how you get that. We know this, but we just need reminded. I need it reminded. This kind of obedience, obedient faith, comes from knowing God and hearing his word. So first of all, we have to spend time with God to know him, right? When we do this, we have a relationship with him, and out of that relationship, there's a desire to obey flows. So back and get that. We get obedient faith from knowing God and hearing his voice. When we do this, we have a relationship with him, and from this, we obey. This obedience is then empowered through God's Spirit, not through our own way of trying harder. I'm going to tell you, if you try to do it on your own strength, you're going to fail every time. We can do all things through who? Through Christ, who strengthens us, and we stand on that. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I ask you, if Christ were to come today, what kind of faith would he find in your homes? What kind of faith would he find in you? He is looking to find faith on earth. You know, one of the best things that I learned from this class, and I believe many people would agree, is you want to know the one way to have unshakable faith in your family? Want to know? If I could say one way, it begins with you. It begins with me. You can't give away something you don't have. You can't give away something you don't have. I love that. Somebody in the class shared that, how that spoke to them, and then I just really went back and reflected. We can't. We expect to hand on, to have generations, and the scripture that I prayed over of families that hear God's word and know it and live it, and when we're gone, they'll pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. But what are we passing on? What are we passing on? Do we have that kind of faith? True transformation. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you can give away a whole lot more of his fruit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If he's in you, you don't have to do it on your own strength. By receiving Christ and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, it just flows out of you. True transformation, that's when true transformation happens. I was saying in the earlier service, you can hear anyone from Joyce Myers, and I was at a lull to Jimmy, I don't know who, give me somebody, Cash Dollar, to whoever your favorite evangelist or pastor is on TV. You can hear Pastor Seth, you can hear people in your life group, you can hear your Christian friends tell you really great things about how to change your heart. But I'm going to tell you, true transformation only happens when you respond to the Holy Spirit. You have a step of obedient faith to take in it for the response to happen. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, that's what we fight with, and in our families, that's what causes a lot of faith that's real shaky, is that the world gets in there and pulls us, doesn't it? If we really want to focus on our children, if we had to really be honest, don't we all want our kids to have a great education? We want a better education than we did for them. We want better opportunities. We want life to be easier so they'll have less struggle and pain. We want them to have more than what we had, don't we? Well, I'll tell you, Satan can use that pull of the world, and he can fog our eyes very clearly. I myself, as a teacher and an educator, found it very hard with our daughter Kayla when she was getting ready to decide what she was going to do. It was, what school are you going to go to, and what are you going to go for, and that was just what I thought you do, because that's what the world says, and that's a priority. Not that it's a wrong thing, it's an incredible thing. But Kayla really taught me a lot throughout her journey with God, and she's still on a journey that Steve and I have prayed over her, that God has a plan and a hope for her future, a plan to prosper her and not harm her. So why would I have to have figured out where she's going to go to school? Now, when she chose to go to YWAM, to discipleship training, that was okay. Texas is okay. But when she chose, she was going to Russia, that was a whole other story. I really wanted to control that. But Kayla showed me that, and she's still showing me as she's home, that God does have a plan. And you've just been a testimony to me that you trust God. And even when you don't understand, you know that he has a plan for you. And that's really, you've taught me, so I thank you for that, Kayla. Now, then along comes Cole. And thinking, okay, he's gone from everything to being a vet to being throughout his life. He's always, oh, definitely, he's going to go to school. The world, yeah, he's going to be my one. And he tells us that he's going into the Air Force. And I said, I think, Steve, we upped the service, teach and service now a little too much. But you know what? I don't know, Cole, if that's what you will do. I don't know that. But I know that what Grandma said to you the other day, and Grandpa, when they're pulling out of the driveway, who desperately don't want you to go, when they said to you, Cole, just pray about it. Cole, God will show you, just pray about it. I believe God will show you, Cole. And if that's what he has for you, we support you. But the biggest thing of having two teenager kids that I would like to speak over you, because I got to do it in the class, and I just want to speak this over you. I don't know what you're going to do in your life and what you're going to be, but I know it's going to be good. There's one thing your dad and I do know, and this is what we pray over you, and this is something we prayed in our class, that Kayla and Cole, you are chosen and adopted children of the Most High King. You have an heir to an eternal inheritance awaiting you in heaven. You are bought and completely paid for by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ's own blood and sealed throughout all eternity with the power of God's Holy Spirit. God knows your future, and Dad and I really trust him. We have to be, as parents, living examples of what is real. We can't give away something we don't have. You want to create unshakable faith in your family, no matter what age. You could have kids that are grown. You could have a child in your belly, no matter what age. Realize this. It's not your job to merely control your child's behavior or their attitude. It's your job to model with authenticity, realness, what you have in your relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And you know, part of that isn't just when we have the grace and the mercy and the love flowing out of us. Part of that is when we mess up, because they're going to learn how to forgive by seeing how you forgive. You're their number one model. Josh McDowell also said that. A story of just 2 weeks ago on Easter, I messed up. Great sirs, we had gone through a move, a week of painting, a week of moving our house and packing, and I was exhausted. I came into church, and I just did not think I could make it. I don't know how many people said to me, "You look terrible." And I just thought, I just can't, if I can just get home, if I can just get home and lay down. And, you know, everything was great when I was teaching in church, and I had an awesome lesson for the kids. I think we talked a little bit about humility, and Brad had an awesome word. But then we got in the car when I walked out of the doors of the church. And I said some things to Kayla that weren't very nice. And it was I could have said it was because I was tired. I could have said I had every excuse. I've had a lot going on. I'm exhausted. And it bothered me. In fact, it bothered me so much that when the Snavely stopped to visit our house, we were in the car, Kayla and Cole and I. She dropped me off and didn't come in, and we went in the house. And that was a really awkward situation. And I went back to my bedroom, and I began to pray. And a little bit while later, I sent Kayla the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And I sent Kayla a text message that said, Kayla, we both said things we shouldn't have. I said things I shouldn't have said to you. But I want to speak truth over you. I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm sorry. With which response, she texted back, "I'm sorry too, and I forgive you." Those are the kind of things that kids need to see us living out. And believe me, I don't always do it perfect, do I? Big no. There are two valuable gifts that my kids have given me, and I just wanted to share them with you this morning. The first gift is this one from Cole. And I don't know if you even remember this, Cole, but he was 7 or 8 years old, and he'd saved his own money. And he told his dad, Grandma and Grandpa gave him money for, I don't know what it was, Easter or something. And he said, he told his dad, "I'm going to get my mom something for Easter with the money." And I kept saying, no, don't do that. Grandma and Grandpa gave you that money for you. So Steve said, "Let him do it." Off we went to Rock of Ages Christian bookstore because I had something else to do. And he's over in the corner, and I collect these little willow tree angels. And had just started at the time, and he's over in the corner, and I see him in the corner, we're getting ready to pay, and I'm trying not to pay attention to what he's doing, and he goes like this. I see his hand go out, and I'm just kind of watching. I go up to pay, and then I see from his hand going like this, then I see him look, and then I see his hand go back like this, and he came over to the counter. Do you remember this? You came over to the counter, and you said to the lady at the counter, "I broke this, but I'll pay for it." And I just remember thinking, and to my amaze, the lady said okay and let us pay for the broken one. But that's probably part of God's plan. But you know what? I could have replaced this because it's broken, but I will never, ever replace it, because, Cole, in that I saw grace and mercy and I saw truthfulness, and that will be a reminder to me because that reflects Christ. For Kayla, it's just a real recent one. She got back. The first thing she went and got me was a sign that hangs above our stove that says, "Grace isn't a little prayer you say before receiving a meal. It's the way you live." I just want to tell you guys that your families and your kids and the people around you are watching you, and they really do want to see the kind of faith that they would be proud to pass on to the next generation. I pray so strongly for families. They're really in a battle today. I think it's the number one attack is the attack of families. The number one attack is pulling the father out of his rightful place that God put him in to be the leader of the home. We are in a battle, but we are going to take back this generation. And I just pray today, I hope what you have is worth passing on to the next generation. I pray that your children would hunger to see the reality of who God is in the natural flows of our lives. In the class, we experienced 10 environments, and I couldn't say it any better. One was, I'm going to ask the Fries to come up. I was going to say, though, I hope they're here. I was going to ask the Fries to come up. They were here also earlier, as well as many families. And as they come, this is the Holy Spirit working in the life of a family. So I just asked them if they would share their heart.
As you guys saw, we have four children, ages 11, 9, 7, and 4 and a half, that God gave us to raise. And I guess through that, Connie's going to give a testimony what can happen if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit.
It was just a few weeks ago. We both believe strongly that the kids should help out around the house and help the family out and, you know, just help out with whatever needs done. And I think it was a Saturday afternoon. Doug had asked the kids to unload the dishwasher. And I was in the other room, and I could hear one of the kids just bawling, just crying. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, you know, now what? Well, how could somebody be crying? What's going on? And isn't he out there? And anyhow, so I go out into the kitchen, and there I find Jay, our 7-year-old. And he's putting the silverware away diligently like he should be, but he's just crying and wiping his eyes. And I said, Jay, you know, what's wrong? What happened? Did you get hurt? What's going on? And he says, oh, it's Brooke. It's Brooke. She says she doesn't love Dad. I said, oh, okay. And I go on to find out that she doesn't love him. And it's not that she doesn't love him all the time. She loves him some days, like when we go to Waldemere and stuff. But for the most part, she doesn't love him. So, okay, and so, you know, I'm a little aggravated by this, and I look around, and where is Brooke? After all, how could she do this, you know? And I look around, and Brooke's no longer there. Apparently, she has finished up her part of the dishwasher, and she's back in the living room watching TV. Well, now it all makes sense. Brooke likes to watch TV, and she was upset that she was interrupted watching her TV show and asked to do something else. So, and she overreacts quite often, so I wasn't surprised. But anyhow, you know, Jay was upset and tried to comfort him as best I could, and then, you know, a little while later he finished up, and I go past the living room, and there he's sitting there next to Brooke watching TV, and he's still kind of wiping his eyes. He's still sad. And so I couldn't resist. Brooke's sitting there, and Jay's sitting there upset, and so I start making some comments, you know. It's okay, Jay. It's okay. You know, maybe someday Brooke will love Dad again, and, you know, it's okay. And it goes right over Brooke's head. She could care less. She's watching her TV show. And anyhow, finally Jay gets calmed down, and we go about our day, and, you know, I'm irritated that this has happened, but, and I didn't know why at the time. I didn't really do much about it. And then later in the afternoon, I came into the living room. Well, Brooke was now watching the Hannah Montana movie. And if you know anything about the Hannah Montana story, it's about Miley Cyrus and her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. And her mother has passed away when she's a young child. So her father, Billy Ray, is raising her on his own. And for that reason, of course, they have a real close relationship. And there's a tender moment during the movie where she has written a song for her father, and she's just strumming the guitar and singing it to him, looking up at him, and he's looking down on her, and it's a real touching moment, and I'm sitting there beside Brooke looking at her thinking, So I can't help myself again, and I'm like, wow, she must really love her dad. And of course, Brooke says nothing, you know. And I let it go a little while longer, and, you know, and say a couple more things, and finally, well, I love him sometimes, just not all the time. And besides, you know, her dad's nice to her. He doesn't yell at her. Okay. And I said, all right. And I said, well, on the other hand, I said, I noticed that she seems to listen to her dad. And he doesn't have to yell at her because she listens to him. And she seems to respect him. Well, yeah, she doesn't care. And I continue. I said, you know, you sure you don't love Dad? I said, you know, this is the same man that he saved his birthday money to buy you parts for your dirt bike so you'd have something to ride last summer. Well, I love him sometimes, you know. She's holding fast. So, okay, whatever, you know, I'm not getting anywhere with that anyhow, you know. And I'm still thinking, I ought to come down on her, you know, because that's normally what I would do. Kind of like Kim said, you know, a lot of times with parenting, you think your goal is to just control their behavior, and this is not the behavior that I want, so I'm thinking, well, I should do something about this, you know. But anyhow, nothing happens the rest of the day until that night we're tucking the children in, and I had tucked Jay in that night and finished saying prayers and was almost out the door, and, Mom, can you come out? Now what, you know? It always happens when you just want them to go to bed. So anyhow, I come back, and what? And he's like, can we just pray for Brooke? Or no, not for Brooke. He said his sisters. I just want to pray for my sisters so that they'll be kinder and they won't say such mean things. So, okay, you know. So we prayed, and he said a really beautiful prayer. I was really impressed that, you know, God laid this on his heart. And so, you know, I went out of the room or whatever, and the next day was Sunday. We got up. We went to church. And I don't think too much was said about it throughout that day. And later that night, after we had tucked them into bed and Doug was out in the garage working, and he came back in, and for some reason I followed him into our room, and there laying on our bed was a card that Brooke had made. And of course, I'm looking over his shoulder as he reads it, and it says, Dad, I've been very disrespectful to you. I want that to change now. Once you get this card, I would like you to go to the fridge. There you will find a verse from the Bible. I would like you to read that. I want to do that and apologize for saying that I don't love you, because I do. But when you yell at us nonstop, I just feel like you hate me. I would like for you to forgive me for saying that. And Dad, could you tell Rachel, Jay, and Carly that I love them too, please? Thanks. I hope you think that I really do love you. Please still love me and know that I like you whenever I see you. Plus, I like you all the time. Well, even though I don't like you as much as God, you're still a part of my heart. I love you, Dad, from your daughter that loves you, Brooke. And on the outside of the card, she had written a little lyric from one of the Hannah Montana songs that she inserted the word dad, so it was, you know, meant for him. Anyhow, so then we go out to the fridge to see what's on the fridge. And this was the memory verse that I believe they got in Sunday school that morning. And it was Hebrews 12:11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And we were just really touched by that. I mean, we were, you know, to think that, you know, God worked it all out. The Holy Spirit really did a work in her, and I think really led us to not discipline her as we normally would have. And there's nothing wrong with disciplining a child when they say words like that. I mean, definitely not. But in this particular case, I really think that the Holy Spirit led us to not come down on her. She would have taken the punishment or the consequence, whatever it was, but she would have been angry, and she would have never had the heart change that I think the Holy Spirit did in her. And then he was able to go back and talk to her. She wasn't asleep yet, and he was able to go in and talk to her and have a complete reconciliation. And then when we shared the story in our parenting class, Kim later said, you know, after we told it, she said, well, she felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her that she needed to tell Doug that he needed to write a letter back to Brooke. And I had to chuckle on the way home. I said, ha-ha, you have to write a letter. And he says, well, I should have told Kim that I did go in and talk to her. And I said, did you think the Holy Spirit didn't know you went in and talked to her? So he did write his letter later in the week. And that.
How did that feel, Doug?
Good.
Did it?
Yeah.
Felt really good to hear.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. He tried to share an earlier service, and he just kind of broke down. He decided, maybe, aren't you glad God gave us helpmates? Families, that's living it out. That's living it out and being real. Let's put our energy towards setting our children on the path of the divine and watch them fall in love with it. Just in closing, I want to share, our family has had a lot of struggles the last couple years, not some bigger and some not so big. We've had storms beat on our house of unemployment, of underemployment, of health, of teenage years. And I really fought this, but the Lord wouldn't let it go. So I just want to leave you with this today. This is our house, or on this side. This is our dream house. This is the house that we built. It was a house we were going to grow old in together. And there's something different about that house that God entrusted us and blessed us with for 10 years. And I pray we used it for his glory. And we bought a lovely house, which we adore. We just love our new home. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your patience. Yep. There's our new house, and we love it. But if you look at the outside of our house, they're very different, aren't they? They're very different to look on the outside. But in our home, there's something that is the same, and it sits above our sink in that house, and it sits above our sink in this house. And it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, the worldly stuff doesn't mean anything. But giving your kids and your family faith to pass on so that when I'm gone, their kids will have it, that was God's plan. That was God's plan all along. I'm thankful for my mom, who through so many storms in my life growing up, she taught us what it was like to have a faith that we could obey and we could live out in our life. In fact, when I was getting ready for this sermon, I'd written it like three times, because there's a lot of really good stuff in this book. You ought to take the class. But there's a lot of really good stuff that made much more sense. But God kept saying, just share your heart, Kim. And so when I ripped up what I had, I went over to my mom and dad's, went in a bedroom, and I shut the door. I didn't even have to ask my mom and dad. I knew when I was in that room, my dad, who has trouble walking, kept creaking over to the door, and every little bit he'd knock, can I get you some ice cream? No, Dad, I'm okay, thank you. Trying to focus. A little bit later, can I get you some water? No, Dad, really, really, I'm okay. Then a little bit later, can I get you some pop? So he said, my mom finally said, Tom, she leave her alone. So when I went out, I knew what they were doing. They have two recliners, and I knew through the Holy Spirit that they were praying for me, that they were praying that God would show me what he would have for you guys to hear today. So I praise God for that. In our class, we're going to close with the song, Turn Your Eyes Towards Jesus. And I believe that today you have an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. Whatever those storms are in your life, whatever those little sprinkles are, you have the time right now, as we sing this song, to give those to Jesus and turn your eyes towards him. Because I love when it says in this song, we turn our eyes to Jesus, the world grows suddenly dim in its allure, and we begin to love it less and Jesus more.